For Becca, Fitz, and Ingrid. Wind. December 30th, 2014. Day 4, Year 7, the Dawn Wall. 1,200 vertical feet climbed free, 1,800 to go. We hear the wind racing from a half mile away, a roar in the darkness mixed with the pitch of a scream. The volume rises, drowning out all other sounds. We sit like gargoyles, legs stuffed in sleeping bags, backs against the wall. Kevin, my climbing partner, clutches the straps of our hanging tent and forces a smile. I can read his lips. Hold on tight. A deafening whap-a-pap-pap resounds with the cadence of a machine gun. It's just fabric slapping the granite, but an involuntary shiver rattles inside me, shaking loose a decade and a half old memory, born from the smell of exploding rock and visions of blood pooling onto the alpine tundra. A sudden updraft swirls beneath the portal edge, our home, roughly the size of a sheet of plywood with nylon strung between the aluminum frame and draped over its top. The floor begins to lift, and for a moment we hover in space, as if riding a magic carpet. I picture the 3/8-inch stainless steel bolt from which we and all of our gear hang. Then the wind abruptly stops, and the portal edge crashes down, straps snapping tight. Each morning starts the same. I wake thinking about how to unlock the puzzle above. We brew coffee in our little perch and sit in awe as first light graces us. This part of the monolith of El Capitan in Yosemite Valley, California, has long been known as the Dawn Wall. I brush my teeth, swish water in my mouth, and poke my head outside. I watch my toothpaste fall as I count 1, 2, 3. At around 10, the white blob disappears into the forest below. I pause and stare at my 9 fingertips, cut, raw, but holding together. I often think of how this massive climb hinges on tiny details. Millimeters of skin contact and molecules of healing will make or break our ascent. I gaze across the glacier-carved valley and to the peaks unfolding on the horizon. I watch falcons tackle swallows in midair. Each day I feel the magnitude of my excitement in my restless legs. It's strange. In most ways, I'm a pretty normal guy. Self-conscious. Shy at times, awkward. On the wall, it's like I come alive. This place changes me. It always has. I take a deep breath and turn to the sheer face rising above. Nobody had ever believed it possible to free climb the Dawn Wall, using only one's body, primarily fingers and toes, for upward progress. Truly climbing, without relying on direct aid from the equipment to hoist oneself up. Legendary figures in the climbing world, some of whom I remember from my childhood, hanging out at our house with my dad, had long wondered if an ascent of El Capitan by any means was even possible. When the first ascent came, in 1958, it was a quantum leap. In subsequent years, countless climbers had made their way to the top following various routes. But freeing the Dawn Wall remained inconceivable. It existed as a kind of here be dragons on mental maps of the vertical landscape, virtually featureless and smooth. Because of my father, I'd fallen for climbing long before I'd fallen for anything or anyone else. For me, free climbing the Dawn Wall is an act of purity. Getting to the top under my own power, unaided, is a way to express myself and my love of climbing and life in the grandest form and on the largest scale possible. If successful, and perhaps even if not, I'd validate not only my years of planning, but the entirety of my life. When trying the hard pitches, which is pretty much all of them, I notice my mind an instant before my body. If doubt creeps in, even the tiniest bit, I hesitate, just for a moment. Then my feet start to slip. My core starts to sag. I pull too hard with my hands, eroding precious layers of skin while trying to maintain my body position. To an observer, it happens in minute, imperceptible ways.